Can reissues save collecting? Hello and welcome to Modern Toy Fair, brought to you by our partner, Toytography Magazine, but more on that later. I'm your host, Mr. Modern Toy Fair, and I am joined by the man Modern Toy Fair is full custody over, the man known as Bearded Spice, the man Optimus Prime popped and he refuses to stop, the Twilight Knight, the master of Mac, the three-pump chump of taking the show off the rails, Nate. But that's not all. We are also once again joined by our special guest while Jamar is out on paternity leave. It is the consumer of all things vile, the former co-host of the Figuratively Speaking podcast, Corey. How are you guys doing?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I had to remember what I called you last week. I completely blanked there for a minute.
Way to go.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we're going to be talking today mostly in regards to the fact that Mafex has had a very interesting, like, month and a half, where they've just been reissuing expensive figures left and right, which isn't uncommon for them, but not in this large sum. And it doesn't seem to be stopping. Like, they keep announcing more and more, or having them pop up in stores more and more every couple of days. As of right now, since the beginning of the year, we've gotten the black and gray version of Hush Batman, the blue and gray versions of Hush Batman, Gambit, Psylocke, Classic Spidey, Webman, Carnage, and Wolverine, the Tiger Stripe version. And it doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon, which made me want to raise the question, because we've talked a lot on this podcast about reissues, a lot about just in general collecting kind of on a downturn. And seeing some of the reactions in the Facebook groups, it made me want to ask, like, could reissuing old stuff, like, within reason, like, stuff that's hard to get, be the portal to kind of give and collecting up the kick in the ass that it needs for, like, those who missed out and don't have the money or don't want to spend the money on 3 to 4 times what something retailed for, whether it's something like a Marvel Legends figure that now goes for $120, or it's a Mafex figure that now goes for $250. Like, is this something that ultimately can maybe take some people who were against collecting a line because they missed out and kind of flip that and make it into growth? So I'm very curious to see, like, what you guys think. Not everyone.
Well, I, for one, I was listening to your list of things that have been reissued, and a lot of those figures, if Mafex is going to go real deep into these, you know, subcategories of Marvel, you know, just X-Men, just Spider-Man, some of those have to be, I would say, evergreen figures that you would just keep in stock all the time. Like classic Spider-Man, you know, Tiger Stripe Wolverine. Everybody is going to want those, whether it be, you know, the longtime collector and or just like somebody just coming into it. Mm-hmm. You know, they you wouldn't want to collect a series of any figure. I think if, like, OK, say you collect X-Men and then you see all these cool figures come out and you're like, oh, but Tiger Stripe Wolverine is $200. What are you going to do? You're not going to have Tiger Stripe Wolverine in your X-Men collection. So I think for new collectors, it's awesome. But I am firmly in the category of, if you're buying any of this stuff to invest, that's a bad idea. We talked about it last week. There's only so many of us, and the newer generations don't care as much. So at some point, prices will always come down, you know? So that's my opinion on it. And I want to get toys to as many people as possible. You know, if you want to buy action figures, you should be able to pay, you know, a normal price, not scalping. But it is a double-edged sword, because then if you have all of these I don't know what you call it, like the mom and pops who kind of thrive off of
limited
scalping. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They won't exist, and then the numbers themselves would go down because then you don't have all these big buyers, you know. You wouldn't have the I don't know, the skeevy guy in the back alley buying all the toys, you know. So I don't know. It is a double-edged sword, I guess. But I buy to collect. I buy to collect what I like. So if I happen to have a figure that's worth $120, I'm actually probably just going to sell it because some of those Toy Biz figures, I'll never forget Toy Biz Spidey and my buddy being like, dude, that thing is worth so much money. I was like, oh, selling it. I was like, I absolutely love it, but I'm going to sell it because I couldn't, like, at the time. I don't think anybody should be able to justify, like, if somebody wants to give you like $200 for something you paid like $6 for, like, so it is that kind of double-edged sword, you know?
I have that problem too, because I'll find things like randomly in my collection that I like, this is cool, but I have a newer version or something, or it's not a character I really care for, and it's going for a bunch of money. I'm like, why am I keeping it? I could get so many other things. Right. Like, so I definitely feel that. I will say this with the classic Spidey, though. In the States, he hasn't sold out. Like, he's been around nonstop because they did a very big, massive release for him. But in Japan, he had been sold out for a long time. So a lot of times they do with Mafex, they do these reissues based off of how things are in Japan, not always in the States. So some of the stuff gets reissued even though it's still around here. But still nice because then you have the opportunity to order from the import sites where you're paying $60 instead of $100. So
I actually did have a question. I don't keep up on Mafex as much, but you said Webman.
Yes.
Like, they seriously made a Webman?
Well, they did it because at the same time they did that classic Spidey, because the classic Spidey is in a smaller box and comes with slightly less accessories, so he was a little cheaper. They did a exclusive that was the same figure just with the colors for Webman instead.
Right.
Webman. So it was just a real easy repaint to use that mold as much as possible in that period of time, which they've already reused that mold so many times anyway.
Yeah. That's just super off the wall one, you know. That's one of the, like, even when it came out for Marvel Legends, I was like, who are we talking about now? Like, I had to look that one up because I had no idea who he was when that came out. So
yeah, same.
That's for the hardcore, you know, collectors. The Webman.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Webman guy. Love Webman. Oh, he's my favorite. Do you?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't. I had that Marvel Legends at one time. I still don't even know who he is.
Was that in your time when you were just buying every Marvel Legends that came out?
Yeah. Especially like Spider-Man ones. I was just getting every Spider-Man Marvel Legend that there was, every Spider-Man variation. So, I am a big fan of reissues. Kind of always have been, and it has bitten me in the ass. I mean, as far as being a collector and potentially, you know, looking to off things, but, like, you know, I don't necessarily do Mafex, but I do SH Figure Arts, and anytime that any of those have been either reissued or improved upon, that's always been awesome. Because I remember at one time early on in SH Figure Arts with Dragon Ball, Goku was hard to get. Like,
that's aggravating.
Yeah, like,
as a new collector, like, how do you expect to
the main character
increase the fan base of
and then
that toy line?
Yeah, and that's when they made that $35 version available across the board. You can still find it, you know, at Target and Walmart.
Yeah,
and
it's still,
like,
it's getting restocked.
And it still
now.
Sells.
Yeah,
and it still sells because if you're going to get one, if you're a shopper at Walmart or Target, you know, like, and you're just an average, not nutty like we are, and you see that, you're going to be like, oh, sweet, this Goku is awesome for $35. Yeah, I'm going to get this. Like, and then who knows where that's going to lead. Same way with, you know, the vintage collection. You know, I had to rely on a lot of the reissues that they did in order to fill, you know, holes in my collection. Sometimes I've gone back and actually picked up the original versions of it. Sometimes I don't. you know, sometimes I'll just go with that reissue and call it done. You know, some people will say that my collection is not true or not whatever, but it does buy me. Okay. And I'm totally fine with that. And like I said, I've gotten quote unquote, you know, screwed on that. Like for instance, recently, you know, I could have sold my Batman the Animated Series, you know, Scarecrow figure for a ridiculous amount of money. Same with the Alfred. Those were going for insane money. And I was going to sell them just for the same reason that Corey said, because I could. You know, they're not like huge, you know, it's not Goku. It's not Batman. It's, you know, it's Alfred. It's Scarecrow. But they got reissued. And in the long run, I think that's good. Now, is there a flip side to that where it becomes too much? Well, I look at what happened to Super 7 with the Turtles. Because, you know, initially when Raphael hit, it sold out. Raphael was going for like, you know, ridiculous money, you know, $70, $80, $90. And they decided that they were going to reissue them. And then at that point, then it kind of became a thing where they were no longer able to even sustain retail value on them.
And we're going to reissue them, but you won't get them for 2 years.
Well, there is that too. That was a whole.
And I also feel like that hindered the rest of their production because they had to keep stopping to reissue figures and stuff like that. So, like, I feel like that's a Super 7 problem, not necessarily a normal company problem. Super 7 has a lot of issues that don't seem to come up with other companies, though.
Potentially, yeah.
We could have a whole episode about their problems.
Oh, we've had several.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a whole... I'm sure someone out there could make, like, a mix of just, like, 9 hours of us talking about Super 7.
Yeah.
But while it is a different scenario, I think it is valid to look at as a potential, you know, pitfall that you could run into if you do too many reissues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look a lot at... actually, Corey and I were, well, in a group text, because there is still a figuratively speaking group text that gets used, I would say, daily still at this point. But,
be nice.
Yeah. Black Series has reissued so many of their good figures. There is almost no secondary market value on those at all. And as we had a whole discussion based on secondary market, does that help the lines in stores? And I honestly don't remember where I stand on that. So I could be like going against myself, but I do think there is somewhat of a correlation. And I think I argued against that point.
You guys fought me tooth and nail on that one.
Yeah. So, and I do that a lot. I'll fight you. And then I'll be like, oh, Michael was right.
I'm buying Transformers now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what I do. Nick likes to argue though sometimes, I think.
Oh, I know. He's openly admitted that he'll argue against me just for the sake of arguing against me.
I mean, that's kind of why we're here.
Yeah.
Which is weird because we're agreeing on things over and over and over.
That's the power I have, is I bring anyone else who's on this show together against me. It's miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. You know, but I do see like there are people that are crazy enough that even though a reissue comes out, there are people who will want and, you know, fight for the original version or whatever. But like, I look at something like, there was the Clone Wars Vintage Collection Ahsoka figure. I forget what number it was, but it was towards the end of 1.0 and ended up being an Amazon exclusive. I got it because it was on Amazon, and, I think I sold mine for like $300 at one point.
Jesus Christ.
And it was actually up to at one point $700 that it was selling for, which is insane. But it was one of the more popular characters in a great version that was released in very limited amounts. And that was an absolute one that had to be reissued. And it was. And, did it tank the resale value on that first one? Yeah, to an extent. It's still that other one still goes for like $200-$300 because there is enough differences there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for me, I rebought the new one and was like,
good enough. Yeah,
I'm good enough.
Wait, which figure? I probably have this.
Yeah, it was the it's VC, like, I don't know, I have to look up exactly which number it was, but it was the first vintage collection Ahsoka when they were doing those, like, sort of like art realistic cards, but they weren't like photograph cards. Let me see exactly where it was. Yeah, VC 102. So just that whole last wave were released straight to Amazon because they had kind of done it retail at that point. So they were really tough to get. Yeah. So that would definitely kind of keep a lot of people out of collecting. And, you know, especially, you know, that steep of a level.
Mm-hmm.
So for something that can be reissued, and I always will caution that by saying things like, you know, mainline releases and things like that should be reissued. But I also am one that is very much against, like, say, like reissuing a HasLab or a HasLab figure or some kind of thing like that. Yeah. If you want to find another way to do something similar, like, I know, for instance, with the Ghost, you know, they're releasing the Ghost crew in their seasons 3 and 4 looks. They're using a lot of that tooling to make seasons 1 looks, which that is totally fine. I'm totally cool with that because what I'm getting is still exclusive. And in those particular looks is really cool. You know, to me, I've talked about that before with HasLabs, especially. It's not so much that it's worth it or that I'm going to sell it. It's just that I have it and it feels cool to have something that not everybody else has.
And the whole nature of a HasLab is supposed to be, hey, if you don't get it right now, then it's happening. But I'm kind of concerned if like even those rules or guidelines are starting to get muddied, because as we just saw, last week they just announced the 84 neutrino wand for Ghostbusters. And now people are saying that they're going to come out with another HasLab for the 84 Ghostbusters backpack. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not the same as the one you just came out with, but it's kind of the same. So I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of a weird.
I feel like that's kind of the vein of what Nate was saying, though, is like he's got that specific look of those characters that are exclusive. That's how he got it. Those were the gateway to get the other versions out and, you know, save money, that's kind of the same thing as, like, they're using that tooling to make another version, because they never said that they were, this is, like, definitive, this is the only one we're ever getting. That one was, I'm pretty sure that one was Afterlife, like, based. It was,
like, the wood paneling and stuff on it.
Yeah, so, like, they, like, you bought that with the understanding of what you were getting. And there was never any, like, discussion of, like, oh, we'll never do another one again. Like, it was successful enough that clearly they wanted to make money off it.
And I totally see what you're saying. I can also see what Corey's saying, because, you know, what if in a year's time they were like, well, hey, now we're going to do a HasLab for the animated Ghost. And right. It's like,
that's kind of some murky waters.
Like,
I'll give you that.
Like, yeah, let's be careful here. Like, we definitely don't want.
Yeah,
you know,
but there's gonna be lines in the sand, obviously, in gray areas.
My whole thing is I don't necessarily want to I don't want to feel ripped off per se when I purchase something, especially a big ticket item like that. I feel like coming out with another one, it wasn't that long ago even, you know?
Well, the new movie's coming out, so they have to have some merch for it, because they sure as fuck don't have anything in stores.
Yeah, they screwed that up royally. It's like every morning I wake up and I'm like, I can't believe there's no plasma figures.
Oh, I can't.
So, but... Really? Like, really?
They just didn't do well, but that's a whole nother show.
Okay. But... I don't know. Like, anything I buy, I don't want to feel ripped off. You know, I don't want to feel like they were like, ooh, you know, you better get this now. And then later on and be like, just kidding. We got another one like 2 years later, you know, it's like a decade later. that makes a little more sense for something exclusive like that. But that's completely different than like having evergreen items constantly reissued, like Ahsoka, you know, biggest show on Disney Plus right now. You know, you gotta come out with one. You know, the
on the flip side of that, they have so like they have like 10 different versions of Ahsoka. Yeah, so like yeah. that's just yeah. you wanting that specific version. Like I feel like that would be a little more slighted than them reissuing a Ghostbusters Proton Pack, because like at least the Proton Pack, that is like a cosplay item. It's you're gonna have some people who like want it for display, some people who want it for costume purposes, but it wasn't like to the level of some of the other HasLabs. And especially, sure as hell, probably isn't going for $800 on eBay. Whereas, like, that specific version of Ahsoka, like, okay, well, there's 10 other Ahsokas to choose from. Just get that one. Like, I feel like that's a bit of a difference.
But I think also, too, like, a lot of these companies are getting smart to the fact that, you know, some of these figures are going for ridiculous amounts. And if they're still able... if they still have licensing agreements that are still in place, why not bring it out and share in some of that, you know? Because all these people are making money off of something that you already made. And yeah, you made money from it for the first time, but now these people are making ridiculous amounts. They should share in that too.
Mm-hmm.
And also shit in everyone's, you know, Cheerios along the way who was selling it.
That new Mandalorian that's supposed to be an evergreen figure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing's already sold out in a lot of places. I mean,
which is hilarious because so many people bitched when they announced it, that in the Vader, they were like, this is ridiculous. This is so stupid. But like, we talked about this years ago that there should be certain characters that are always available.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader and now, you know, Din Djarin, those are, I mean, they keep that kind of annoys me about vintage collecting. That's a whole nother thing. There's a new figure, a new Mandalorian figure with a new number, which means I got to get it. But I'm like, what the fuck difference is this one from that one? You know,
I mean, there was the sploosh one that you got that like he went to like a Bukkake party.
They announced one recently on the live stream and then pipelined two more. And I'm like, how many more do we need?
Oh, man.
He comes with a new hat.
Yeah.
Malibu Barbie.
Yeah.
Or Malibu Stacy, whatever it was. So I'm totally okay with reissues. I really am. Like when it comes to those things. I will confess to you guys here, when Marvel Legends announced the Alpha Flight, I'm not sure if I ever showed this to the figuratively speaking guys. But it was an Alpha Flight box set of five figures, and one of them was Puck. And I saw it at work. I immediately was like, went home, grabbed my Puck off the shelf, took a picture of it, put it on eBay for a buy it now, $75, and it was gone. I was like, wow, like it is gone. And somebody in one of the Marvel Facebook pages took a screenshot of my auction and was like, so it begins. And I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, that's my eBay right there. So I was like, hey man, somebody's gonna give me $75 and they're not privy to it. I was like, I thought for sure they were gonna like cancel the bid and send it back, but they never did. They took it. So I don't know. I felt pretty crummy afterwards in parts of me, but what are you going to do? Ooh,
$20 is capitalism. $20.
Yep. And you got to buy the box set for, you know, almost that amount. So,
yeah.
Right. Well, then the box set drops down to what? Like, wasn't it like $40?
Yeah, so, it came down really low.
Like, who really won here? Oh, Hasbro did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to talk more about Hasbro because they've had some interesting reissues recently. But before we do, with all these reissues, we need to talk about some issues in general. And that is our sponsor, Toytography Magazine. Nate, would you kindly give us a dramatic reading about Toytography Magazine?
Of course. If you have an interest in toy photography, and let's be honest, If you're watching this, you probably do. If you're looking to improve your camera skills or simply looking for inspiration, Toy Trafa... Oh, man. This is going to get me. Toy...
Photography.
Photography.
Yeah. Toytography.
I was trying to put... Toytography.
Yeah.
It's way easier to say than the way it looks. Toytography magazine has what you need because they offer in-depth interviews with skilled artists, tips for lighting, composition, and other areas of photography. Because that's very cool. Figure posing and working with props, an artist wall, contests, and more. So this is a quarterly magazine that's available in digital and print. So you get the best of both worlds. You can actually just keep it on the go on your iPad or tablet, or keep it in your book bag or, you know, in your bathroom. Because that's where it needs to go. You just need to visit our website at Toytography Magazine.com. And you are also welcome to join our Toytography Magazine Facebook page, where you can share your photos, discuss tips, and participate in contests. And they'll see you there. I think this is awesome. This is such a cool thing that's going on, even though I can't say it's because I'm so excited. But I love stuff like this. Obviously, Michael does more Toytography than I do, but I used to do a ton more back when it was like early on before you needed to have actual skill. So now I can look at this magazine and actually get some tips, get some ideas, and actually get a little bit more skill so I can compete as well.
Awesome. Yes, we will have a link in the description below for their website so you can go. And pre-orders are live currently for the March issue. You can also go and buy any of the back issues as well that they have. So check them out. We greatly appreciate it. Great partner of the
and
show.
And who doesn't love toy magazines? I mean, exactly. Come on. Any toy-related magazine. It's super fun.
I'm glad that they're making a resurgence. Them, the Collector magazine, like, let's do it. Yep. I'm down for it. I miss Toy Fair magazine a lot, if you can't tell by the name of the channel. but, yes, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Hasbro, because Hasbro is kind of the king of reissues without them being reissues. They like to essentially repackage the same figure repeatedly. But they don't always have the best selection. So we've talked about this multiple times, Nate, about how Marvel Legends needs an archive wave or like line, just like Black Series. However, Black Series has the problem that the archive wave sucks. Like, it's always...
Sometimes,
like, it's got like one or two characters that are like, oh, that's awesome. And then the rest of the wave is always fucking Lando, a random Princess Leia, old man Han Solo, like shit that nobody asked for. So I feel like you need to do it and choose these figures wisely based off, okay, what's going for ridiculous amounts online that people are actually going to want to buy. So that way they don't end up at fucking Ollie's. Cause every time I go to Ollie's, it's that same end cap every time with nothing but Lando, Princess Leia and Palpatine and
Moff Tarkin's usually.
Yeah. What's the other dude? The dude with the wrap on his head who looks like he should be on Hoth, but he was one of the bounty hunters.
Dengar.
Yeah, Dengar. It's always them. Always there for like $8 a piece. So, like Marvel Legends, they recently did the MCU re-release. Mm-hmm. But those ones, they massively improved on the paint like of the head sculpts, so they actually look like a lot of the actors now. Like in like borderline better than the import companies in some cases. So... Do we still feel like that needs to be a thing? Do we need a Marvel Legends line that is nothing but those evergreen characters? Like, you have the main line, which gets you some of those deep cuts, gets you some of the fun stuff, and then you have an archive Marvel Legends line that's your Spider-Mans, your Wolverines, your Cyclopses, your Captain Americas, your Iron Mans, like all of the shit that, you know, needs to be out there for new collectors to be able to jump in.
I think they're testing that. They recently announced that because they have an Iron Man and a Spider-Man coming out. And I think they're MCU, but still. They talked about those being kind of like an evergreen program that they are going to test out.
It's a terrible line to test with MCU figures, though. I feel like the MCU stuff does not sell as well.
It did when the movies were doing better.
You mean when the movies were coming out and they had all those recognizable characters like Spider-Man and Iron Man in them?
Right, right. So I don't at this point think that there needs to be an archive series. And I think even Star Wars probably no longer needs the archive series, but could do with a reissue in a wave here and there rather than having a whole line. You know, at one time, you know, the Emperor figure was really difficult to get. Either the original release or the Amazon exclusive, that one was really tough to get. So that one to me made sense as an archive figure. You know, Skiffguard Lando made no sense because you could get that on Amazon still in the original packaging for the same price.
It was still in stores on the retro card.
Right. And well, then 2 months later, they announced the retro carded version. And I was like, we really don't need this now.
Yeah.
So that was really goofy.
Maybe that was just a case of them, you know, walking the factory floor and being like, so what's in that giant room over there? And they're like, that's the Lando room.
We actually printed 300,000 Landos one day and we just didn't ship them to you because we didn't want to get in trouble.
If we see like General Lando from Return of the Jedi get issued on an archive, you know, card, then we know.
Yeah.
We know that things are fucked.
Someone's quitting work that day. Like, they're like, I'm done. And they just fucking hit the Lando button 3 times and every Lando ever got printed.
Yeah. Poor Lando. Poor Billy Lando. B.
Yeah, like, he deserves better.
Because there is still vintage collection Landos on the shelf. And I think those came out like 4 years ago. Like, they're still out there.
He's been put on clearance and off clearance so many times that it's really impressive. Nothing else.
Yeah. So I do think though that Hasbro should continue to keep an eye on that, reissue where appropriate, or I think more so in the case of Marvel Legends, improve upon and re-release rather than reissue would be better.
I think one here and there it works, but I think maybe a wave of 5 characters all at once, because absence does make the heart grow fonder. So if you find that, you know, that Captain America, you know, that evergreen Captain America, you know that it's only going to be there for X amount of time, you know, too. So I don't know. It's an interesting subject for sure. But I think a whole wave would probably sit for a while.
Yeah. And I think the Marvel team does a good enough job of recircling back to certain characters. Yeah, it may not be that particular outfit or that particular storyline or whatever, but you know, they'll have a Captain America, they'll have a Spider-Man, they'll have an Iron Man in a wave somewhere that will kind of help meet that demand.
You know, one thing that bugs me though is that they come out with figures of, they know that suit or that costume or that status is only going to be out for like 3 months, maybe, you know, it's not, it's like, if this is Marvel Legends, you know, nobody needed a Hot Claws Wolverine because everybody, as soon as Hot Claws came out and was a thing, people were like, no, you're not doing this. Hot Claws is stupid. And then the figure comes out, I don't know however many months later after, you know, even the storyline was over, but it was like, who needs Hot Claws Wolverine or, you know, Zip Up Jacket Miles Morales, where they came out with it. It was in a couple of issues and everybody was like, no, this costume's not working. And, you know, they got rid of it. But I don't quite get those types of characters either. Like a definitive, more definitive, you know, you want a costume that's going to last, then I don't know, maybe have it in the books for more than 8 months or something like that.
So I don't know. So a couple things with that. As far as the Legends part of Marvel Legends, I feel like if you stick to that name, then we literally would only have an archive line. It would just be those same 15 characters over and over in the same costumes. So Legends, I feel like, is just a name. It's not like meant to be like Star Wars Black Series doesn't mean that all the characters are Darth Vader.
Do you know that? Do you know the Black Series was a placeholder?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
with the fact that all of their stuff ships with like fake names and stuff, it doesn't surprise me that wasn't, that was originally a placeholder.
Yeah, it wasn't, it was just because, you know, everything's, you know, everything's themed now. You have the Indiana Jones Adventure series, mm-hmm. and the Ghostbusters Plasma series, and the Power Ranger Lightning Collection. Yeah, Black Series was just, we'll come up with a better name later.
Jeff didn't come up with that name in time before things started printing, and they were like, well, shit, I guess it's Black Series now.
Yep.
So
it could have just Star Wars Legends.
Yeah.
Been like 6 inches across the board Legends.
Yep.
So as far as the archive style wave for Marvel Legends, I think we are looking at it too much through the collector, like current collector eyes, and not getting new people in the line, because that's ultimately what it needs to be used for. It needs to be used as a way to get new collectors and grow the collecting community, so that way it doesn't die off in like 30 years when we're all, or 30, 40 years when we're all dead. So I do feel like you should have, even if it's just through Amazon, make it Amazon or fan channel, like, so that way it's easily accessible, just a wave of five figures each year or each quarter that are evergreen characters in their like most recognizable costumes, the most updated current version. No tomfoolery of like shit that people need that like didn't come with the first version or anything like that. So that way you can have those young kids or those casual people who aren't on the up and up. Like Jamar is one of those people. Like he is a hardcore collector of Turtles, but everything else, if he learns either through us or through walking through the store, and he'll find it and be like, oh damn, this is cool. Like the Goku from Figure Arts. That was his gateway drug. He now has a small SH Figure Arts Dragon Ball collection when he only intended on buying Goku. So I feel like stuff like that, you need something that's consistently available for people. So that way you can...
If you don't have that available for people to get, you know, you're nixing all new collectors, because even kids, you know, grandma was calling on the phone wanting to know what little Timmy wants for his birthday, and you know, you can't find the Wolverine or what have you for him to kind of realize like, hey, toy collecting is kind of for me, you know. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Didn't they try that with wrestling? Wasn't there an?
They still do.
They do like
wrestling
a,
still has
is,
a.
Is it working?
Okay. Yeah, they do okay. One. I think one every 6 months or every 3 months they have a best of, or of like, or maybe it's once a year they'll do a best of 2023 or whatever, and it'll be a wave of like the top guys of that year, and it'll be like available for a while.
And I also think that aren't they exclusive to certain stores? Like Walmart gets SummerSlam.
So those are separate. This is the best of, not the, because they do SummerSlam and WrestleMania, which those, I believe, WrestleMania is Target, SummerSlam is Walmart, and it bounces back and forth each year, because I've seen it like flip-flop quite a bit. But they have an actual best of series, and they're starting to do it with the Ultimates as well. Their $30 line. The Ultimates are getting a best of where they're reissuing the like Triple H and Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, the Ultimate Warrior. Like they have a bunch of them that they're reissuing, so that way people who are just now getting into the Ultimates line don't have to go and pay $200 for a Triple H figure that's honestly outdated, but the only Ultimate version they have, because they only do so many Ultimates per year because it's a more expensive line. And it does pretty well.
I do feel it's kind of weird that Hasbro makes so many more lines than Mattel. But in terms of a toy company that can keep their core toy collecting, you know, series on the shelves, I think they do it so well with WWE and Jurassic Park. Like, anytime you want to go in there and get, you know, a core character of WWE, or, well, unless, you know, it's all sold out, like,
or you're at a store that has shitty distribution like Walmart or something.
Right. But I feel like they do an incredible, job just keeping all that stuff out there for people. And keeping it relevant, you know, for kids, because, you know, kids have such short attention spans anyway. So they might want that Matt Hardy figure now, but they're not going to want it 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So you better buy it now.
100% agree. So let us know in the comments below, where do you stand on it? Do you think reissuing is good for collecting, or do you think reissues are going to ultimately kill it? Nate, would you like to read our Patreon exclusive input for the week?
I will.
Just gotta take a
Kermit
drink.
The Frog.
I want him to do it in the Kermit voice now.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Please do the entire thing in the Kermit voice.
This is my official vintage Great Muppet Caper glass.
Very nice.
Do you have six more
glasses?
Yeah.
I have three more. Like, I don't have them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because like last week, trivia question.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that one up. Anyway, I'm not going to do this as Kermit. I'd have to practice.
Damn it.
All right. So.
Come on, Kermit. Come on, Kermit.
That's pretty good. So this one comes from patron Sook My Taint. Reissuing rare figures is a wealth transfer from old collectors to new collectors. It makes new collectors have an easier time at the expense of existing collectors who, A, might have been planning to sell off some of their collection to buy new figures, or B, paid high secondary market prices and now feel bad to see the figure reissued. This negatively impacts the secondary market, which then trickles down to the primary market. Since collectors buy fewer figures out of FOMO, if the figure turns out to shoot up in price, just wait. It'll be reissued. And if the figure doesn't go up in price, just wait. It'll show up at Ollie's on clearance. When the secondary market of a collectible dies, like the comic book market in the late 90s, it takes the primary market down with it. Marvel Comics went bankrupt in 1996. I also graduated high school in 1996. So
what? You graduating was the reason that Marvel went under. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You had to do adult stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, there was a little side note here that I think is relevant. How did Jamar hide his pregnancy from us? He never showed his abdomen on camera. And from now on, I demand weekly belly checks on all hosts.
Listen, we went the Huxtable route. We just, hid him behind a bunch of things until the baby bump, popped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belly check.
We all just do the truffle shuffle every week.
Like I said, I was just at a tap takeover, so my belly is full. All
right. Well, on that note, if you enjoyed this video, please make sure to like and subscribe. It helps us out and gets you a bunch of toy-related content in your feed. We've got reviews, how to post videos, customizing videos, weekly toy hunts, weekly live streams, weekly podcasts, all sorts of stuff. Check it all out. We greatly appreciate it. If you're a fan of the channel and you'd like to help us out, though, you can head down to patreon.com/moderntoyfair. We have a bunch of different tiers of different options. You can submit input for the weekly episodes. You can get episodes of the podcast and the toy hunts early. You can get physical prints of the photos I take, all sorts of stuff. Check that out. We have free trials. Link in the description below. You can check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Modern Toy Fair. Corey, would you like to let everyone know where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Threads now. I don't quite understand that. The other one, all of them, just at Vile Consumption. I grab that across the board, but I don't get most of them. I don't understand most of them, and so, you'll see me fumble around quite a bit. But I'm always posting nostalgia-related artwork and horror stuff, so... If you like gross things or things that are from the past, I'm your guy.
Or gross things from your past.
Ooh. Gross things from my past. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Links will be in the description below for some of his social medias as well. Nate, what do you have for us this week?
Well, we have a whole new podcast series coming out. Ooh. And it's a fun one. Corey, you should definitely find interest in this one. It's called Corey, Corey, Corey. And this is a whole expose of you, former, figuratively speaking, co-host Corey. We learn all things about you. Yeah. What non-extradition country does Corey have a second passport for in his bug-out bag? Which reality television celebrity did Corey impregnate after a romantic tryst in Paris? What does Corey really think of men who wear fingerless gloves? You can find out if you tune in. You'll discover all about Corey to literally speak on his eponymously named podcast.
Awesome. Make sure to check that out. And hopefully we'll see you next week. Same toy time, same toy fair channel. Thank you for watching.
I have so many fingerless gloves. So many fingerless gloves.
To do it now.
All right. A huge thank you to our Patreon members. Is that what it is? Are they members? Are they followers? Sukma Tank, Jason Miller, Kevin Hernandez, Aaron Samples, The 45th Lyric, Christopher, and last but not least, Boogeyman 13.